tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. Welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz TV recap show for Sword Art Online. How are you guys doing today?
Kind of lost that one there, didn't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Wibbly-wobbly,
timey-wimey stuff. Joining me on the panel today is Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
Hey, guys.
Tari Miller. In English, por favor.
What a pain in the butt, Ricky-san.
I've never asked for a translation before.
Not literally.
Anyway, and I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and we have a very, very, very special guest in the studio with us today. Joining us in the studio is the voice of Lifa and Sugu, Cassandra Lee Morris. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for joining us today, because you kicked some serious butt in these episodes.
Yes. Like, that's why I love Lifa.
Exactly. I'll be honest, we've had a love-hate relationship with Lifa in the series this far.
More but after Sugu these, than Lifa.
After these two episodes, though, I really felt for her as a character. And a lot of that is due to your fantastic performance, especially at the end of 22. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
All right, so should we go ahead and jump into the show and go ahead and get this party started?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to go ahead, if that's okay with you guys, I think we're going to go ahead and break down episode 21 a little bit differently than we normally do, because we have basically Asuna's story, and then we also have Kirito and Sugu's story.
Yeah.
So if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to go ahead and just talk about one of
those.
No.
Well, you've been overruled. Objection!
Yay!
The yeas have it.
Yay! Okay, great. So, let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room and just talk about Asuna's story real quick. We'll make it as painless as possible, because this was the most odd, I suppose
this
you could
is
say.
The point where the commenters are going to get popcorn, because they're just waiting for us to lose it.
All right, let's just go ahead and talk about it then. We start off Asuna's story where she's running away at the beginning of the episode, and as she's going through trying to make her escape, she comes across what's called the experimental hangar. Which, if you're an evil genius, I'm not sure why you would just have a big old sign saying, this way to my evil lab.
You just call it, like, spare robes or potions or something. But no, she finds a map and it straight up says, experimental hangar. Let's go there.
Well, Sugo's he's kind of an egomaniac. Of course he's not going to try to hide it. He's like, everyone who's here is there under my command. Like, it's one of those kind of things.
Except for the people in cages.
Is he going to be one of those villains that literally has, like, a big red self-destruct button? Like, that he's just like, of course it's going to be there. No one's going to push it. I'm just putting it there because I can. It's
right. Awesome. Man, I hope so.
That would be pretty hilarious, actually, if that's what ended up happening. I think everybody who bought a copy of Alfheim Online would be a little ticked off, though.
The ending is so much more satisfying than that.
Oh, yay. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, so yay.
Well, you know, we were kind of hoping for a Doofenshmirtz ending, but if that's not going to happen, then I suppose this will be good.
For anybody who doesn't watch Phineas and Ferb, no one knows what that means.
Well, those of you who do watch Phineas and Ferb get the joke, so good for you. I like you.
Anyway, so Asuna makes her way down to the experimental hangar, and that's where she finds out that basically everybody who's been trapped in SAO, that's where they're stuck.
Was it everybody, or was it just the three, was it 300 players?
Well, everybody who's left over from SAO.
Technically 299, because she's out.
Yeah.
She's the special one.
And it's very interesting. It's very different from what I thought it would be. I kind of thought they would all sort of be like her, and that they'd all just kind of be in cages or things like that, that their avatars would still be hanging around. But the fact that they're, like, just kind of sitting there, like these little floating brains, that's not really what I was expecting, but I'm not quite sure what I was expecting either.
I was hoping they'd all be in cages so we could have a barricade-style uprising.
That would have been cool.
That would have been awesome.
I'm not surprised that they weren't in cages, because the thing is he wanted to see if he could control them, and it's like there's only so much experimentation you can do if you're controlling people when they're in a cage not doing anything. So these people were like out in the game, you know what I mean? Like, it just,
I don't know if they were
they? I don't think they are. I think I would love for them to have been out in the game. Yeah. I think that would have been tremendously interesting.
And just be 300 sleeper agents.
Yeah, right. That would have been so cool. Like the Manchurian Candidate, only in a video game.
Or like the Torchwood episode.
Oh, that would have been good, too.
That would have been great.
La la la, didn't see Torchwood.
That's okay. Moving on.
That's okay. Yeah. But anyway, she sees this and she knows exactly what's going on. She's like, don't worry, I'm going to save you. When two, what appears to be scientists, I think, come in. And they're obviously running experiments on these brains. But
can we address the elephant in the room?
They're tentacle slug
the
monsters.
The creepiness of the blobs.
They're giant pink slugs with eyes on stalks and extendable tentacles. And these are their player avatars. Like, how do you even...
What was the reasoning behind this? I have so many questions, and I don't know if I'll ever get answers, and I don't
Super
think I creepy.
Want I don't
to want
get answers.
Answers.
I don't want them.
I have a theory that it's because Suko doesn't want them to ever go out into the regular game, so they're like mandated uniforms for the employees. So, yeah. They can never fly. They could just have to live in these slug bodies anytime they're in the game.
And it's kind of like they're the bridesmaids, and he's the bride. And, like, he has to look the best at all times, and they have to look, like, kind of
None
crappy.
Of the bridesmaids can upstage the bride.
No, exactly. Absolutely not. I like that theory.
Nice. Yeah, and it's, like, I think also just for the sake of, well, what kind of creature can we put in there so they would have different... arm tentacle thingies in order to do scientific work, and also the obvious cliche Japanese what happened next.
Yeah, that's what follows next. It's basically like we switched anime genres for like
again.
A full 5 minutes.
Again!
It went a little Bible black.
I'm glad that you said that, because that's what I was thinking, and then I was like, oh, why am I thinking like that?
Well, and I feel so bad. We had Jeremy Lee in the studio a couple weeks ago, and actually having met her and talked to her, I feel so much more bad for Asuna in this situation. And I hope... I feel like she deserved a raise after that, because no one should have to endure that when they go to work.
She deserved a Caribbean vacation after that. My gosh.
Have you guys seen the part where he, like, smells her hair?
Yeah.
That creeped me out
episode.
Even more.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know everyone's expecting me to be really mad. I'm not. This was too stupid to be mad. I am completely... boggled that we had to put in place these pink slugs specifically so we could have 5 minutes of tentacle porn to make some audience that I don't even think we were courting with the "you're stuck in a video game"
and let's
premise.
Make them all talk like these.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, who are we trying to court? We came to see Nobody Learn from Dot Hack. It turned into the latter half of Fushigi Yugi, and now we have 5 minutes of tentacle porn because reasons.
I literally just like. The entire time I'm watching it, I was like, okay, so this is the part that Jeremy was talking about. Okay, really? Really? Really?
Yeah,
really?
I can't even be angry. It was just
really?
Stupid.
I don't know whether to
dumb.
Be mad or disgusted or just disappointed. Or I feel like I need to sit down. I don't know if this was in the light novels.
You're
I genuinely
down,
don't.
So this is good.
So I feel like I need, if it was in the light novels, I want to sit down with Reki Kawahara and have a heart to heart, because I just don't understand the idea behind
it
these
was.
Choices.
Oh, it was.
It was. Thank you, Stephen. I do need to sit down with Reki Kawahara and have a talk.
It didn't take 5 minutes, though. It was like literally like a half paragraph. It
was like a 6-chapter long thing.
No.
And then he molested her, and we move on. No!
But Asuna, being the awesome character that she is, she puts a stop to it the best way she can, and it works. And she manages, before they take her back to her cage, she manages to steal a system admin card.
I was hoping so much that she would actually reach, because we forgot to mention, like, she did find cube.
She found the console, and she was this close.
For
those of you listening to the podcast, I'm holding my fingers together very, very closely. She was this close to being able to log out, and it was just snatched away from
but
her.
We had to frame the shot dramatically, so she stood there with her finger hovering over the button.
Of course we had to do that. That's what makes it, you know, that's what makes you, like, grip the edge of your seat.
Yeah. You're like, come on, just hit the button already.
The
go,
slugs
go, go.
Are coming. The slugs are coming. But I can't even get through that sentence.
Without laughing, yeah. But again, what we have, you know, what we're left with is she has this system admin key card, and but now they have security around her is a lot more tight, and that's where we kind of leave Asuna for the rest of the episode. And as frustrating as that is, I'm glad we're done talking about it now.
Hey, turn and burn, 10 minutes.
Yeah, there we go. Now let's go ahead and talk about Kirito and Sugu's part of the story.
Yes.
Because
the good part.
I really liked their interactions in this episode because I love when they play off each other like brother and sister or like really good friends. And you really feel bad for Leafa in this situation because of the dramatic irony that's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really tough. But anyway, we start off with them getting to the center of Alfheim Online. They're at the biggest city, which is at the base of the World Tree. And right before they can do anything, there's this big announcement saying that there will be server maintenance, that everybody needs to log out while maintenance is being done. So they find an inn and they log out. And then we cut back to them in the real world, and they get up in the morning, and we get this really cute interaction between the two of them first thing in the morning of, you know, like, oh, you're a kid, you shouldn't be staying up so late, you know, tooling around online.
Do we know their age differences?
I want to say it's like 2 years.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's very big.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's big enough to where she wouldn't be able to be his tutor. But it's not small enough to where like they're in the same grade and everything like that.
Right.
Yeah. So
okay, question for you guys.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. While we're talking about their interaction, mm-hmm. did you think he was flirting with her when he put like the ice down her back?
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
We have
brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Brothers do stuff like that. It's just like
brothers put ice down your shirt all the time when you're a kid, just because they can and they're mean.
Very true. Yeah. Luckily, my little brother never did that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the things I really liked. Is he's like, turn around, like I've got a surprise for you, and he dumps cold water down the back of her shirt, and that it made me think of me and my brothers, and so I really like that interaction, and just reminds me of all the times my brothers pulled stuff like that. And so I really did like it. When they were directing you, were they like, oh, he's flirting with you at this
they
point?
They didn't say that he was flirting, but like, okay, when I was recording, I was only doing Leafa and Sugu's parts. So like, seeing like interaction after interaction of like her and her brother or with her and Kirito, I was like, he is flirting with her. Like, she is taking it the wrong way. Like, this is so bad. He shouldn't be doing this to her.
Yeah. I mean, I can see, for someone who doesn't have siblings, like, I can see how that would be perceived in that age group where, oh, the boy is teasing mean, but he's flirting. Like, I see that. But then at the same time, I can see how his taking it as, oh, I'm just flirting. You're like my little sister. And her being like, ah. You know, like, I don't know.
Well, and the other thing is that they're both aware that they're
like that, by the way. Sorry.
They're both aware that they're not actually siblings. But they don't know that the other ones know. Yeah.
Cousins.
They're still related.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's still gross.
Legal in Japan.
Jesus.
Legal in Japan.
Legal in Alabama. That doesn't make it right.
She knows it's wrong, though. She knows it's wrong, and she's trying to fight it.
That's the really tragic thing about this character, is that she knows it's wrong, and she knows that she can't confide in anybody.
At least there's that. I mean, that made me kind of feel like a little better, because she's like, I can't tell anybody, and da-da-da-da, and I was like, well, damn right you can't. Like,
and to, you know, you can't help the way you feel either.
Right,
and,
exactly.
And I, as much as I'm angry at this narrative as a whole, I can't be mad at her.
I can, because, well, no, I'm just saying, it's just one of those things where if you, your entire life, have been raised with somebody to believe that they were your brother, and you only found out within the last year or two that they weren't, and then you weren't even interacting with them because they were in a comatose state the entire time. Like, where does the line go? Like, how the hell did you go from, like, oh, it's my older brother, oh my god, he's my cousin?
Well,
puberty. God.
Well,
puberty. Yes, puberty is one thing, because Suga's actually supposed to be about 14.
Okay, that makes sense.
And we do touch on that more towards the end, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, when Kazuto comes back,
Yeah.
I think that she is kind of, like, rediscovering who he is.
Yeah.
And she has all these feelings because she's 14, and then things just kind of get, like, mixed up in her head. And I guess.
I don't know. I have all male cousins on my mom's side. So, and granted, they're younger than me, but at the same time, just no. You know, like, I can't even put myself in that mindset to think.
But were they like Kazuto?
These little bastards would just, like, I was older than them by, like, 3 years, and I'm like, look at my blocks I built at Christmas, and then they'd run through it consistently.
Exactly. Just, yeah. They weren't like Kazuto.
I guess not. Oh, there you go. Would have only had a crush on my own cousin if only he was older and like Kazuto.
And in a coma for 2 years.
Well, we were talking earlier, and we were like, unless they were already in a relationship, I'm pretty sure every single girl, with, like, the exception of Yulier, Yoroko, and...
Yui,
yeah. Has fallen in love with Kirito.
Shonen protagonist.
Yeah. The ladies love Kirito. That's what Bryce Papenbrook always says. He's the voice of Kirito.
Yeah, but why? Why
not? Have you seen him wield a sword?
Yes, I've also seen him do some massively stupid things and be incredibly insensitive.
We've kept a running tally on the amount of times he's blown into something and hit himself in the face.
Every time he gets cranial trauma, take a shot.
Oh my gosh. But anyway, so what follows is after that interaction, they decide to go into town because he wants to go to the hospital. And they also decide to kind of run a couple errands together. So they're on the bus together. And they that's when we kind of get a little bit more insight as to, you know, what's going on with the other people that were trapped within Sword Art Online. And basically, a bunch of them are, in terms of, like, the ones who were still needing to go to school, they're being kind of lumped into one school together, which I would watch that TV program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would totally watch Sword Art Online High.
It would be better than what we're watching now.
Be like Big Brother.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're the kind of idea behind it is to kind of just keep an eye on the psychological states of everybody.
Or no one else would, like, really understand it or grasp, like, the struggles if they just went back to, like, a regular school. Not to mention, he did touch on the fact where there's no, you know, in Japan, you have to take entrance exams to get into high school, and it's just a really complicated process that because they were, you know, in this game for
He's 2 years behind.
Yeah, right. There's just no
and
way.
Out of practice and studying, and
I mean, and Japan is the highest, one of the highest countries of, like, suicide rates because of entrance exams. Like, let's get on the level of knowing how hard they are.
Yeah. So, like, and he mentions that he'd have to go to cram school for, like, a year to even have a chance.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's really frustrating. But at the same time, it's like, oh, okay, like, is that even a better solution, is lumping everybody together in the same school? It's just something interesting. And, you know, it's not anything I think that the series is going to really keep touching on.
Yeah. But I wish they would.
It's an interesting tidbit, and it just makes you wonder about other people who were in the game.
I also think it'd be really funny if they were, most people probably weren't of the same age group, but to run into the ass that tried to, like, kill you in the game.
Oh, just like, hey.
And that redheaded chick that was
Rosalind,
you know, just be like, oh, hey. It's like, you try to kill me. I'm going to take your lunch money.
I was a member of Coughing Coffin.
Yeah, no, you know, like, you think maybe those people should have actually, like, paid some sort of actual price when they came back, you know?
Well, but they wouldn't say anything.
And I guess there's no proof. I don't know. Unless somebody's, like, legit monitoring everything going on in SAO, which I don't think anybody was.
No.
It's basically
with the exception of Heathcliff. And
or Sugo. Sugo was keeping an eye on things.
Yeah, and he wants to turn people over to the law.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to tattle on anybody.
No.
But anyway, so then we get them going to the hospital. And that's when Kirito introduces his little sister to Asuna, and he's telling her all about, you know, she's the Lightning Flash, she was the second in command of the Knights of the Blood Oath, she did this, this, and this, and she's one of the most amazing players I've ever met.
And Suga's just like, she's so pretty.
And she's pale and comatose, but man...
And she doesn't know how to feel, because she was hoping that being able to meet Asuna, she would be able to move past her feelings for Kazuto.
I love how jealous she gets of her looks. And I'm like, Stevie, look down, girl. You got it.
The series has made everyone very aware that Sugu is well endowed.
Right.
We're not allowed to forget it.
But yeah, she really has nothing to be jealous about because she is, she, I think we've gone over it before. She's spunky. She's very capable. She's this great swordsman and she is very pretty. So it's just another heart wrenching thing about these two episodes.
I think everybody's been in that situation though. I mean, looking past, aside from the fact their relation to each other, you know, everybody's been in that situation where maybe when you were in school, you had a crush on someone who never looked at you in that way. And then you see the people that they go after and you're like, you know,
why not me?
Yeah.
And
she's
so desperately trying to get over her feelings. Like, she brings the flowers.
And I respect her much for that. Like, I did not like her character. Pissed me off from the beginning, like, ew, you have a crush on your older, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then as we get into this second half of the series, so to speak, with the game, you learn to, like, you can relate to her too much in order to hate her. Right. You can't hate her.
Yeah.
And you know, because she's admitting she knows what it's wrong, this, this, and that, and she's trying, like, props.
I'm ticked at the narrative for doing this to her, but I really feel bad for her as a character.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the narrative. I'm blaming the decisions made on the meta level. Because let's face it, decisions made on the meta level for the second half of this season have not been sound.
Yeah, right. And we'll get into it more. And also, the only person who's really ever showed her, like, that kind of attachment is, like, this nerdy kid that she probably isn't attracted to. So,
And by probably, we mean she hit him with a wooden sword and knocked him to the ground.
Yeah.
Well, they pick on you because they like you, right?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Splinter
no,
in his face.
Poor Rackon.
Rackon, oh gosh. Like, even like when I was recording, I just, oh, his character is so annoying. Like, go away already.
I know.
She's not interested.
But even with all the text messages he sent her, like, I was like, dude, bro.
Yeah, back off.
Yeah. Well, he's like a little sibling. I mean, if anything, that's the way she would see him. So that's why she would be, he's so annoying through her eyes, you know? Because it's like, your little kid brother's like, oh, I want to spend all my time with you. And I want
to. Oh, I like you so
my
much.
My sword belongs to you.
My
I really don't need
to
it.
You, and I love you so much. And I'm also going through puberty and boobs. But anyway. I imagine him saying that in that voice. Anyway.
Just like that.
But I don't know that he feels that way about her, but we do know that he's a little clingy.
It's more comical in my head.
Well, I feel bad for him. He needs to kind of get a clue. He needs to kind of learn to back off a little bit. But I do feel bad for him just because he doesn't get it. Yeah. And that's kind of hard to watch.
He needs to just learn to actually have... I mean, this is the age group where everybody's awkward. No one knows how to deal with the opposite sex.
That's
especially
true.
When you have feelings for them. And they were probably friends for a while before he had feelings for her. So
that's true.
You know. Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and move on. Is after the hospital scene, they log back into the game as, you know, Lifa and Kirito. And that's when we have Lifa just completely breaking down. And she's like, I know it's really not cool
she
to bring your real life problems.
I was dumped or something. Did she actually
say
that?
She said I have a broken heart.
Yeah. And that's when we get her, as she's crying on Kirito's shoulder, we get her internal monologue. And she's like, I'm in love with my brother. And this is something I can't tell anyone about. And maybe if I just keep burying these feelings, maybe one day I'll be able to forget.
Yeah.
Right.
And, the fact that she's crying on Kirito's shoulder.
I know,
at the time,
you're like,
it's like,
no!
Oh.
You just know it's coming.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right.
I'm still annoyed at this point, though, like, honest to God, and we already touched on it, but, like, how the hell did you know everything about everything that happened to him, but you never got his screen name? The villain knows his screen name.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that really, but, you know.
Oh, no, I'm with you on
maybe
that
maybe it was just because games was never anything that they talked about. Because even when he asked her earlier in the episode what she was up late doing, she was like, oh, just tooling around online. Like,
yeah. She lies. Yeah. She doesn't say that she's playing the game.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess it's just something that they wouldn't have talked about.
Yeah, and then again, Asuna is the only person who actually uses a real name, so obviously this is Asuna, this is the blah, 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 blah,
and
blah.
It could be also that in the same way that when you were in Sword Art Online, it was kind of taboo to talk about your real life.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be that a lot of people see, you know, now that everybody's back in the real world, that talking about what happened to you in SAO is a little bit taboo.
Yeah.
So it could just be you don't want to tread on, you know, on soft ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my guess. I mean, it's still odd that the villain knows.
But, I feel like Kirito was famous or semi-famous. I feel like this is the guy that beat SAO and got everyone out, made it to the news at some point.
Right.
Which there's really no reason for the villain to know the name and his sister not to.
He would,
it's an
though.
Internal logic
but,
break.
But he would, because he did the programming and, I mean, he would have researched, oh, who's this kid? Why is he coming to visit Asuna?
Yes.
The father knows why he's visiting Asuna and how he knows. You know what I mean? Like,
my, but we my got guess- lines about, like, the famous Kirito.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the villain would know. I mean, and but that with that logic in mind, you could say that since he is the hero of SAO, like, why wouldn't you, as another person, make your username something to that effect? There could
yeah,
be 100 million Kirito's, like Kirito 555, something like that.
He's Kirito with the I as a one.
Elite Kirito.
Kiwanito.
Yeah. That's very true. It's just it's another thing to ponder about. But anyway, so they decide, and he's trying to tell her, hey, you know, I can make it on my own. You don't have to keep coming with me. And she's like, I've made it this far. You know, I might as well go in for the long haul.
Yeah.
And so they go together into the city, and it's something that they notice is that all the races of elves seems to get along here at the base of the tree, as opposed to everywhere else in the game where you better stick to your own territory or you're going to get mugged.
Right. Segregation.
Well,
not
at the
cool.
base of the tree, they're probably on equal murder footing.
That's probably true too. But it is really funny to see like. People of, like, the different elf races, like, flirting and, like, chit-chatting and everything like that. Yeah. It's really funny. And it's like, okay, well, if the races are going to get together to, you know, ultimately beat the game, this is the place where it's going to go down.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go, and that's when they kind of realize, when they get into the city, that's when Yui finally recognizes, she's like, oh my gosh, Mommy's here.
I sense Mommy.
And she gets her coordinates. It's up, you know, at the top of the tree, past the barrier that the admins have put in place just above the clouds, because they didn't want people piggybacking off each other again. So
no more Final Fantasy moves.
Aww. So this episode ends with Kirito just launching up into the air like a crazy person.
Which he is.
He's just in love, guys.
Yeah. He's in love
with the wrong woman.
But I love...
Are we biased?
What? Why would I be biased?
Completely objective. Totally. I do love the synopsis for the next episode, though, because Kirito's... on Netflix, it's Kirito's drive to, like, save Asuna borders on insanity.
I know.
But there's a snag thrown into it when Leafa suddenly logs out.
Dun,
and
dun, dun.
Let's not say... anything Netflix.
About context. And I just love that line of borders on insanity.
We've been there.
That wraps it up for this episode. Before we get started with the next episode, I want to talk to you guys really quick about iTunes. Thank you everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and leave a comment. We read the comments. We read all your YouTube comments as well. If you like what we do here, that's honestly, leaving a comment on iTunes and leaving a rating is the best way to let our bosses know that you like the content that we here at AfterBuzz are putting out, and it lets our bosses know that you think we are doing a good job. So if you like what we do, or if you think of ways that we can make the show a little better, please comment and rate and let us know. So
5 stars.
Thank you guys so much for all of your support. You guys are just the best, especially everybody who's been commenting week to week.
Yeah.
It really warms our hearts. Even when you are like, ooh, I can't wait till you get to this part.
Oh, I can't. He's going to be really mad next episode.
Not mad, just disappointed.
Just not even disappointed. Boggled.
Just confused.
Utterly boggled.
Just confused.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Anyway, let's go ahead and get through the rest of this episode really quick, because we want to talk to you not only about your performances, Leafa, but also just kind of your other work in voice acting in general.
Okay.
Because you've done some really awesome stuff. Anyway, so basically,
like, I'm aware.
The episode opens up with Kirito bouncing off the barrier like a crazy person.
Take a shot.
And as he's trying to break through, Leafa's trying to reason with him, but of course, because he's a crazy person at this point, he's not listening. And but somehow, Yui's entreaties seem to reach Asuna, and that's when she gets the idea to go ahead and drop the admin card, which, super convenient that she dropped it in the right place.
Because
that could have just...
wind, like, comes up, yeah, on top of a roof. never to be seen.
Never to be seen
again.
Guess
she's not here. End of season.
Right. But so, oops. Kirito now has the system admin card, and he can't bring it up on the menu, but that is a big Chekhov's gun if I've ever seen one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so, you know, that's where they're able to determine, you know, Asuna was the one that dropped this, and that's when he turns to Leafa and he's like, I'm going in on my own from now on. Like, you know, we're basically done. Thank you for all your help. I'm out.
Yeah.
And so he leaves her behind to go to the entrance of the World Tree. And I don't know about you guys, I got a very, like,
is this
never-ending story.
He dropped her name, though?
Not yet.
Okay, not yet. Towards the end.
Towards the end.
After the trauma.
But yeah, when he gets to the entrance, I had a very, like, never-ending story feel from it because of the two giant statues and everything like that. And
I wanted the statues to be the first boss. They did this in Kingdom Hearts where there was a Heartless possessing one of the doors and you had to defeat it. I wanted the statues to come to life and him have to beat that.
That
would have been great.
Awesome. That would have been cool, but when he accepts the quest, what we are treated to is a really spectacular fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, because we have all these kind of, I don't know, I guess elf stormtroopers, I suppose you could call them.
Kind of.
But they're kind of these sentries or these guardians or whatever just kind of appearing out of nowhere.
It is, essentially.
Exactly.
That's a very good way of putting it. And it's just awesome to watch Kirito flying through the air. And
he was doing really good for a while.
Yeah.
And then the archers happened.
You know, that, I loved that part because watching it, I mean, it really makes it real, like the game aspect of it.
Yeah.
And it really made me think, like, what we do in video games,
yeah.
like, that could never happen in real life, but it's happening to him. No!
I love that. I actually really enjoy the video game fights and scenes more at this part of the show than I did when they were still in Sword Art Online. Like, it's just so much more like, oh my god, what's gonna happen?
Yeah.
Like,
this feels more like a video game.
Yeah,
it's very life and death. It's really dramatic. There's, like, really, like, too many arrows. Like, they cannot survive that.
Yeah. They tried it, and they even made a comment after. Like, they basically try to make it impossible.
Yeah.
Like,
And sadly, he clearly can't do it on his own. He shouldn't have told Leafa to go away because he immediately gets himself killed.
And he turns into a ghastly.
He lasts for what, like 5 minutes?
He lasts longer than he had any right to last.
Yeah, I mean, he did what he could. But obviously it just, you know, was too much for him.
Sheer force of willpower will only get you so far when you are that vastly outnumbered.
And also, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Oh, he also, like, hung in the air for, like, 7 hours when he got that first arrow. He's like,
he stayed way too long.
It's like, go!
Well, but his berserker button has obviously been mashed and then taped down at this point. So he's not thinking very clearly in pretty much any capacity.
No, the only thing he keeps thinking about is Asuna over and over again.
He's not clearly at all.
Yeah.
No.
So he has no backup, no one to help him, no strategy.
Oh,
nothing that requires higher thought.
He
went in without backup because he's a crazy person.
But luckily the cavalry arrives because he gets himself killed.
He's
and that's when he realizes he was a fool. He was like, I can't believe that I treated this like it was a game.
Yeah.
Because I should know better.
Yeah. Right. Am I actually a hero? I can't be a hero. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, it's not a game for him because Asuna's life is at stake.
Yeah.
And he was a fool for treating it like a game at all. And so, but then as he's kind of thinking to himself, waiting to respawn, who should come in? But Leafa flies in and saves the day and makes the most awesome escape that we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah.
And
at the end when she dodges.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then she's
that.
Getting
shot with all these arrows and everything and basically tumbles out the door and everything like that. It was a really cool scene to sit and watch.
It was just so strong and so brave and so smart, too. Because, like, Kirito is just like, I'm going to go up. And Leafa's like, we're going out.
He's like, the wrong way. And she's like, no, you idiot.
Like, he's like, I'm going to go with no.
Like,
we are getting out of here.
You're a floating ball of fire and purpleness. Like, you know, you have no say.
You don't know where to go.
No say.
Right.
But she hands him a Phoenix Down. It's not actually a Phoenix Down, but I'm going to call it
essentially.
Phoenix
Down. Yeah. And it might as well be.
And revives him, and instead of thanking her, he just says, you shouldn't have come after me. You know, I need to do this on my own. It's like, did you not just learn anything about getting shot with a gazillion arrows?
Yeah.
Berserker button taped down.
Yeah, I mean, I know he has the best intentions, but her life is not at stake.
Yeah.
Like, he needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. Yeah, like, he was being selfish in the fact, like, I have to do it myself, but it's like, her life kind of is at stake. You have creepy, I like to sniff hair guy that's going to, like, marry
her. Well, Asuna's life is at stake.
Oh, you're talking about Leaf. Yeah. Okay, sorry, I was confused. But, she.
But at the same time, I can understand because he never wanted another member of his party to die again.
Yeah. Right.
Even though their life isn't at stake. Yeah. For him, it's still very real.
Yeah. Like,
but
it.
It's still like, dude, you really, really need to just accept that you need help for once.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like in this moment, like, up until then, he had been kind of like pushing back his emotion and kind of trying to act as normal as possible. But the moment that he got a whiff of his goal, like, he went directly back to SAO mode.
That's you know? True. We see a lot more of the old Kirito come back.
Right.
This is the point where we need Klein. Who is smart enough not to log back in. Thank you, Klein. I miss him, but I'm glad he's not here.
Hopefully getting pizza and picking up chicks.
Yes! Seriously. But, sword skills.
But anyway, so he, you know, Leafa tries imploring with him, saying that he means a lot to her. And that's when he basically says, you know, she's waiting for me up there. I need to see her at least just once more.
Yeah.
I need to see Asuna. And that's when all of a sudden everything comes tumbling down.
I literally just saw, like, the screen shatter into a bunch of pieces. Yeah. People would die in the other game. Like, that's literally, like, what I saw in her eye. She's like, no!
No, because, I got chills.
Wait,
like, rewatching it, I was just like, no.
Because she realized she was falling in love with him. Like, it's like, oh, good, we have a rebound. And then, no.
Like, I know. That's, okay, that's basically, like, you're taking somebody's heart, ripping it out, throwing it on the ground, stomping on it, and then, like, stomping on it again.
No, like, you're picking it up for a second and going, oh, let me dust you off. Let me just no, just kidding.
Yeah. Like, no girl should ever have to go through that.
No.
Yeah.
Then again, it's going to be really hard for that to ever happen to any girl, really.
I blame the narrative.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand it in terms of, like, if you want to not frame it in the incest terms. It's basically you think you're not falling in love. You think you're falling out of love with someone.
You think there's only hope to fall in love.
Only to realize you still love them, and that even though you try to get away from it, it's still there.
Still that same person.
Different flavor.
Yeah,
but that's how you know that you really like somebody.
I guess that's a problem here.
I guess that's true.
That's a problem here.
But that's when she's able to piece it together, and she's like, is that you, Kazuto? And he's all, like, huh? Sugo? And that's when she's so, like, just distraught and embarrassed that she logs out.
She's like, peace out.
And he logs out as well and tries to go talk to her. And that's where we basically, you give this great monologue of basically her feelings about the whole thing. She comes clean with him about being in love with him and knowing that they're not actually brother and sister, and that she really did resent him because he pushed her away for a good while in their relationship because he thought she resented him,
mm-hmm.
as we know from, like, episodes way back in the day. And so it's like his effort to try to let her be her own person completely backfired because she thought he was just pushing her away.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she's like, I wish you had just kept being a jerk to me because then I would have never realized that I felt this way.
Yeah.
And I, like, most of the time when I watch, like, just TV in general, I'm, like, Facebooking at the same time or multitasking, I was staring at the screen during this entire scene. Like, I had tunnel vision.
Aww.
Like, it was just really heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah.
Beautifully done.
Oh,
absolutely beautifully done.
What did you do to, like, prepare for that? Because holy crap.
I know. Well, I watched the subbed episode first, so I knew it was coming, and the director wanted me to do that, because since, like, way in the beginning when we started recording, he's like, you're going to have to go to some dark places for this, so I want you to be prepared. And I was like, good, because I'm, like, a great crier. And I was, like, looking forward to it, because, like, taking on a role like that, I mean, obviously I couldn't relate to that, like, her specific scenario.
We hope so.
Yeah. But, like, you know, I have had a broken heart. Like, I've been really, really upset. you know, over a relationship and, like, love lost. So I just kind of, like, got into that headspace, and then I just imagined, like, what Sugu was feeling. So it was kind of, like, a combination of, like, my own experiences and, like, putting myself in her shoes. And then I just, like, let it out all in one take, and then we watched it back, and then I wanted to change one line, and now I can't remember which line it was. But we changed one thing, and then the director watched it back, and he was like, I think we shouldn't touch it.
Yeah. So it was almost a one and done. That's awesome.
Nice.
But, like, for something like that, I don't know, I just feel like your instinct, like, your raw emotion is, like, that's going to be the best.
This is going to be one of the things for all voice actors. I mean, it's not like you're just, like, talking into a mic and you're not showing emotion. Like, it's acting, but I feel like this is one of the parts where this must be, like, the prime example of why it's so fun. Like, this is a scene that it's like, yes, like, this is the part where I really get to put everything into it.
Yeah, especially for voice acting, because you don't really get these kind of roles. Like, you know, you get fighting games, you get, like, cutesy girl, you know, animes and stuff like that. But, like, this was so raw and so real. I was like, yes, like, I've been waiting for this part. So
Well, it was awesome, and it came out really great.
Thank you.
And that, basically, the episode ends with her slamming the door on him and him just kind of sinking to the floor, realizing how badly he screwed up his relationship.
Yeah. Communication will solve your problems.
He's such a dude. He's such a guy. Like, when I was rewatching that right before I came here, I was like, oh, you're such a guy. Like, why are you doing this?
You just want to smack him. You're like, get it together, Kirito.
Well, it was assumptions on both sides. Because she assumed that he was mad at her, and he assumed that she was mad at him, and none of them... I'm a Kingdom Hearts fan, so it's always community. Just talk
just
to,
talk just, to each other, not please. Talking?
And now the world ended. Good job, everybody.
This could have been avoided if we had just sat down and had a chat over some tea.
I know! This entire situation...
But that's where we're left with this next episode. So it's going to be for those of us who haven't seen the rest of the series yet, it's going to be very interesting to see how and if they mend their relationship.
Per usual, commenters, no spoilers. You've been really, really good so far. Keep it up.
But since we have you in the studio and we still have time, thank goodness, we would love to talk to you a little bit about your career. And we know that Dave got to talk to you for the voice of for a little bit, but we have some questions. So you've been acting since you were about 12. Why did you decide, like, what prompted you to be like, that's what I want to do?
It really started when I was about 3 years old. I would watch kids in commercials on TV, and I would point at the TV, and I would say, Mom, I want to be in the TV. So just something about it has always, I don't know, just it's like a magnetic thing. And I don't know, I just really like entertaining people. I like being in front of people, and I don't know, it just seems natural to me.
Yeah. And it's just fun, too, right?
It is really fun. It's fun when you're working and you have a job. it can be a little bit stressful. I kind of compare it to owning a small business. You know, you constantly have to be marketing yourself and, like, putting yourself out there and going on, like, audition after audition. You know, they're kind of like job interviews. So it's like a constant hustle.
Yeah, and it's got to be hard, too, because, like, as an actor, I imagine that, you know, you're always marketing yourself, but you always have to be really careful about, you know, protecting a certain image to yourself and, like, making sure you're always in this neutral zone where you're not going to, like, anger or upset people.
Like, offend people,
Yeah, like that.
I mean, I think, like, lucky for me, I'm not, like, really famous. So, like, I don't have to worry about, like, saying something controversial and then the next day, like, every blog in the universe is like, this person is awful, they said this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit different, like, TV people versus voiceover people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, you just... I think I'm, like, a pretty pleasant person anyway, so I'm not, like, going around, like, dissing people.
Well, speaking of you being a great person and everything like that, we just finished Katie and I just finished watching Madoka while ago.
God, yes.
What's it like playing a bad guy?
Oh, okay. So I don't actually think Cube is evil. Like, when I go to conventions, I like to have this conversation with the fans that come, like, is Cube good or evil? Like, people like to see him as evil because, You know, he's like ruining the lives of these girls that, you know, you've come to
and
know
he has
and love.
No emotion. He doesn't understand that what he's doing is horrific.
That's the thing. That's, yeah, it is same face and his mouth doesn't move. So like for Kyubey, like he's not human. He doesn't have emotion, so he doesn't understand what he's doing. So you can't really like fault him for that. So that's why I don't think that he's like really evil. But I know that's like really controversial.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He's more of what? A true neutral, lawful neutral, but his lawful is working against the world that he's taken up residence in. It seems awful to us because we're like, oh my god, those poor little girls.
Right, yeah.
But like on the macro scale, they're trying to save the universe.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it raises the question, like, should you sacrifice one person to save, you know, the rest of the world, or is that not okay? Yeah.
I think the issue comes in that he's making contracts with girls who don't know the entire situation beforehand.
They didn't read
until
the fine
they're already caught. there is no fine print. What is that, like, whisper, 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 yeah, by the way, you're doomed.
They didn't ask the appropriate questions. No, I agree, though. That's
you humans always get so mad when you make the wrong decision. All of a sudden, it's someone else's fault.
Right.
Hey, if you want to sacrifice yourself to save the world, call me. Right. Like delivering lines like that was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Actually, the same director that directed Sword Art also directed Madoka.
Oh, that's awesome.
Alex Von David. So he always directed me to sound like a salesman, like a used car salesman for Kyubey. Yeah.
That makes complete and total perfect sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, I'm giving you a really good deal here.
Look at all this great stuff you get.
All that costs is your
soul.
Don't
look at that over there.
That's true. Going back to Sword Art Online, have they given you any details about the upcoming series or about... I haven't been watching it yet. I know it's kind of started. Has anybody given you any details on maybe Leafa coming back or Sugu coming back?
I really hope she comes back. I personally don't know, but... and this is not a spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it. The end... I think leaves it open for more character development for her. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see more after the last episode. I was like, wait, but what happens next?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the storytellers, I think they have left that option open, and I hope that they take it.
Yeah. It's too good of a character at this point. I mean, for you to have a character where I'm like, I don't like you, and at the end, like, aw. Like, yeah. There's too much to do with that character, you know?
Yeah. Well, and from what we know, they're still living under the same roof as siblings. Again, if this changes in the next three episodes, don't say anything.
But she just packs up her bag. She's like, I'm out, guys.
You know, travel the world. But there wouldn't be any reason for her not to show up when we get out of game scenes in the next season.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
True.
Here's hoping she comes back. Yeah. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But that being said, because obviously Sugu and Kyubey, just the two that we've talked about, they're very, very different, very, very different approaches. What do you think has been your most challenging role?
Probably Leafa, just because, you know, of all the emotions that we just talked about. And she's so human and she's so real.
Yeah.
That it's just, like, trying to be authentic in my performance and...
Like you said, it's not just like cutesy girl or like ha 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 fighting game.
Yeah. Like she is, you know, she is flawed and human, and I just love her. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody else saw what I saw in her, and that I was able to do justice to her character.
Good job. It really comes through.
I'd say you have.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. Haven't even hit the end of the season, and I'd say you've definitely accomplished that goal.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
And you mentioned earlier that you wanted to change one of the lines. You're an improv artist, right?
Yeah, actually, I've done a bunch of improv at UCB and, like, with teams around L.A.
Cool.
So.
Do the directors you work with, I know with anime specifically it's really hard, but I know you do a lot of other things, too. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of the directors that you work with give you the chance to improvise, or do they like you to stick to the script?
For the original animation that I do, like Angelo Rules, which you can see on CartoonNetwork.com and Netflix right now, they do let me improv a lot of the lines, which is really fun because, like, I'll do their line... I'll like do a scene as it's written, then I'll be like, oh, I have this like really funny idea, and I like won't tell them what it is. And I'll just like see if they laugh, and if they laugh, then I know that it's good.
That's also more so because that's one of those things where the other animation, they're recording first before they actually put it to, you know, so anime, I would imagine, be like, and then she says something like this, but then the person's from it laughs mouth.
It's a lot harder to get those lip flaps down.
We can't make this Godzilla, like, no.
Dubbing for Kyubey was probably a little easier because, again, same face.
Yeah. That that was actually a really nice dubbing experience because I didn't have to worry about matching flaps at all. So that was like a little break. But when we did, I don't know if you guys know this, but there are two versions of Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal. And so when we were recording our version in L.A., which never ended up airing, the director and the writer on that, they let us improvise.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah, so we got to, like, sneak in a lot of, like, funny lines. But you'll never see them. So.
That's kind of a bummer. That'd be really fun. That'd be really fun to, like, get a compilation video of just some of the funny stuff that you guys improvise on there.
That would have been great. Set.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, upcoming projects or anything that you're super excited about?
Let's see, stuff that I can talk about.
That's always the issue.
I know. Okay, well, I'll be like really safe. And there are two things that just came out this summer, which is Toradora, which is like a romantic comedy, and I'm Taiga, which is the lead.
Nice.
And I love her. She is like a tsundere. my first character like that. So it was cool to just be like really like pissed off one second and like really sweet the next. And then also Gargantia just came out as well, and I'm Amy in that. I don't know if you guys have heard of that one, but it's a good one. So check it out.
Nice.
And then I just started dubbing a new anime, but it hasn't been announced yet. But when I can talk about it, I usually tweet it. So
Look
for it on Twitter.
Definitely keep an eye out for that. You mentioned that you play a tsundere character and that you're a big fan of that. You do a lot of different genres. We just mentioned you did a magical girl one. You were in K-On!, which is kind of more slice of life and everything like that. And you also do a lot of audiobooks.
Yeah.
Do you have a particular favorite genre? Like, are you more of the fan of, like, the murder mystery or the sci-fi or the
for
fantasy?
Audiobooks?
Or for anything
that
you do.
Geez, I mean, I try to find something that I connect with and that I like about every project. When I'm doing the audiobooks, though, like, I just recorded another Sarah Shepard book, and she's the one who wrote Pretty Little Liars. Huh. And I just love all of her books. They're such page-turners. Yeah, I don't know. But, like, for the anime stuff, like, K-On! Was so funny. And just, like, and I liked how it combined music, like, with anime. So,
yeah,
like, that was cool. I don't know. I like everything. It's
true. It's hard to pick a favorite.
Yeah.
And especially because you just mentioned you, as long as you get to keep working.
Yeah.
Well, when you're not working or when you find some free time, which I know is probably like never, you also have a fashion blog that you do.
I do, yeah.
And when you were on with Dave for The Voice Of, you mentioned that you did hosting for your own fashion series that you were hoping. But do we have any more updates on that, or is that something still kind of in the works?
Okay, so my producing partner and I, we're actually now working on three different reality pitches. And we just signed on with an executive producer who is, like, helping us, like, finish out the pitches, like, round them out so we can take them to networks. So that's the latest update.
Yay!
So we have forward momentum, but, you know, it's definitely a process. And hopefully in a couple months I'll have, like, something new to talk about and, like, more to show you guys. So.
Cool. Fingers crossed on that.
Good luck.
I think you were also on CNN not too long ago to talk about some of the different things on your blog, correct?
Oh, yeah. So CNN, or no, wait, MSNBC.
MSNBC. I'm so sorry.
I was like, wait, CNN.
Shows you how much I watch the news.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, so my style blog is called Style Smoothie, and I run it with my friend Kristen. And we do, like, beach, boho style, and we also do a lot of, like, travel entries and stuff like that. Our Instagram is, like, really awesome. It's Style Smoothie Official. So MSNBC had me on because they just wanted somebody to talk about, like, teen trends and, like, why nobody's shopping at Abercrombie or Aeropostale anymore and, like, why everybody's shopping online. So that was really cool. It was, like, it was live TV.
Yeah.
Like, no mistake. No pressure. Yeah. It was really cool, though.
Did they give you a prompter to go off of? Or did you just have to prepare everything on your own?
I had no idea, like, what I was walking into.
Yeah, there's nothing,
like,
to prepare. They're just asking questions.
Yeah. And,
what's,
like,
your favorite color?
The hardest thing was that all of the hosts were in New York, and I was in, like, a satellite studio in L.A., so I couldn't even, like, look at anybody else. Like, I could just hear what was going on.
And you have the delay.
And there was a delay, and I had the option to, like, watch what was going on in the New York studio, but because of the delay, I said no. So it was, I was just listening to them and, like, trying not to look anywhere but the camera lens.
Cool.
Right.
Do you ever think you'd want to do something like that again? Because I believe you have a degree in journalism, right?
I do, yeah. I mean, I would love to do something like that again. I feel like now that I've had the first experience, I'm like, all right, I could do this without totally messing it up.
Yeah. You're like, I could do that. I could be an anchor.
Yeah, I could be a talking head.
Yeah. That'd be so much fun. Well, unfortunately, we are running a little bit short on time. Do you guys have any more questions?
No. I'm going to take one of your favorite questions.
Oh, go ahead.
Favorite character you voiced?
Favorite character I voiced? You know, this, like, changes daily. I think today I'm going to say Ritsu. Because she's so crazy. And she's part of a band. And, like, it's kind of like a fantasy of mine to have a girl band. So I got to, like, live that out through Ritsu.
All right. One day. One day.
One day, maybe I'll make it happen.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun.
She plays the cowbell. I play the tambourine.
Triangle player.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Really talented.
I could do one of those xylophones as long as you only have to do, like, across the board. Like, is
that it? You're hired.
Yes!
I need that.
Winner.
All my dreams. All right, anyway, do you guys have any more questions?
Good.
All right, thank you so much for coming into the studio
with us today.
Thank you for having me. Where can the people go online to find out more?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at SoCassandra, and then my fashion blog is at StyleSmoothieOfficial on Instagram.
Nice. All right. Tari, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TariJ, that's TariJay. You can also find me on the Legend of Korra panel and the Extant panel.
Liz.
Hey guys, Liz Rishmawi. You can find me at Lizzie Maui on Twitter and Instagram. That's LizzyMawy. You can also check me out for the season finale of The Legend of Korra coming up next. And I will occasionally be a host on Doctor Who, so check that out as well.
Nice. I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. You can also find me on the Attack on Titan panel, the final Legend of Korra panel, which we will be recording tonight, the bi-weekly Ruby panel, and the upcoming Doctor Who Classics panel.
Ooh, lots of stuff.
So many things. All of the things.
And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. You can also find me here on Sunday nights on the Attack on Titan panel and the Ruby panel every other Thursday. And I will occasionally also be on the Doctor Who and Doctor Who Classic ones.
Yay.
We will see. No guarantees on that.
So many panels.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to watch the Sword Art Online recap show with us. We will see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.